Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're in program 344. If you'd like a copy of it, Sharon will tell you four different ways that you can receive either an audio tape or a CD at the end of this program. Both are absolutely free of charge, including postage and handling. This program, we have some music, we have testimonials, we also have some Bible teaching, and we're going to get to some Bible reading as well. But right now, let's go to the throne of the living God to ask him to communicate to us through this vessel, being myself, to the world, the things that the Lord would like people to know about the body of Christ and Christ himself. Christ is our head. Lord, you're our head and we are your body. You cannot go anywhere without us in this world because we are the continuation of your incarnation here on earth. So it's obvious our head, even our heads, cannot go anywhere and our bodies stay at home. So therefore, the central theme of the entire Bible is you. When Peter told USP, the disciples, who you were, and Peter, by the Holy Spirit, stated that you were the Messiah, the Son of the living God. He stated that flesh and blood has not, you stated that flesh and blood has not told him that, but that it was by the Father that he learned these things. And you said, upon this fact, upon this rock, which is speaking of you, you will build your church, and therefore the whole church is built upon you who are the head. In the Garden of Eden, you created a man, a corporate man, in your exact image and likeness, and therefore it was for you to live in him and to be appropriate a wife for you. He stated also in the chapter 2 of Genesis that it was not good that the man should live alone, and therefore you created for him a helpmate out of his own body. So the man's helpmate came out of his body, and your helpmate comes out of your body. After the resurrection, then you became the living, after your resurrection, you ascended into the kingdom of heaven, became the life-giving spirit. And now your bride comes out of your body. It's a spiritual bride. It's a bride that becomes brand new, Father. It's a new creature. And you are the head, and we are your body. And so we, together, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, and the bride say, come. We also are the ones that are appropriating the rest of the body, your body, which is your bride, which is the New Jerusalem, in these last days, where the last of the Christians that will ever live. And so therefore we pray, Lord, that you pour out your Spirit upon me and allow the people in this world to hear the method of how the body of Christ and the church, which is the church, and you are fused together, that we have to put away our sins by the blood that you shed on the cross, and then we have to continue the salvation process by putting away all the evil from our old lives. And we pray that this message, that you will convince, use my tongue to convince the gainsayers out in the world to receive you, who are the way, the truth, the life, and the very method of how you do these things by unifying yourself with the body, your body here on earth, which is the church. We must grow up in you, because without the power, which is your life, it's impossible for us to be able to use any method, your method, to bring about your church, your bride. Father, we ask that the souls that you purpose that should be saved on this broadcast be saved, and that the church, which is the central theme of the entire Bible, which is your body, and you're the head, you and the church are one. And this is what people have to remember when they're Christians, is that they do not sin any longer, because they will not be the body of Christ if there is sin in it. Father, I ask these things in Jesus' mighty name, and everybody says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And now here is Fag Springman to sing Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They just call it Shadrach. All right, play it.
The land of Israel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and they took a trip to the land of Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, he took a lot of gold and he made an idol. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. And he told everybody, when you hear the music of the cornet and the flute and the harp, you must fall down and worship the idol, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. But the children of Israel would not bow down. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego wouldn't fool them with a golden idol. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. I said you couldn't fool them with a golden idol. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Put the children in the fiery furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. He caught the coals and the red hot brimstone. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. 7 times hotter, hotter than it ought to be. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Burned up the soldiers what the king had put there. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. But the Lord sent an angel with snowy white wings down in the middle of the furnace, talking to the children about the power of the gospel. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Well, it couldn't even burn the hair on the head of Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Laughing and a-talking while the fire was a-jumping round. Ha, ha, ho! Meshach, Abednego. Now old Nebuchadnezzar called Ador when he saw the power of the Lord. And they had a big time in the house of Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego.
Praise the Lord. And the power of God came down on old Nebuchadnezzar. Amen.
Amen.
And the power of God is operating today as it was back then. But we have more knowledge of how his power is operating today. And he operates much closer to us because now the power of God, which is the life of God, which is Christ, and the fullness of the Godhead bodily lives in us. He not only holds up all the heavens, which is, there's just like an unlimited amount of the heavens that we don't know about. There's hundreds of millions of different galaxies that we can't even see. It's beyond our comprehension how vast God is. But he's small enough, he's big enough and small enough to dwell in the whole universe and dwell inside of our hearts, and also to take care of the beautiful hues, the different colors of orchids and roses and all the multi things that God does. It's just mind-blowing how much God knows. He knows everything, and there isn't anything that he doesn't know at all. And he sees right inside your little tiny soul and mine. Your little, he knows everything about what you're thinking, which in most cases with humans today is very little. We know so little, and we like to make it sound like God is like some senile person. In reality, God is everything, and we are just a product of his making. He made us out of the sand, dirt of the ground, and he states in his word to cease thinking or caring about mankind so far as the natural man is concerned, because the natural man is a man is little to be accounted of. It's, you know, you melt down your body and it's worth about 15 cents in minerals and so on. That's about it, folks. Maybe less than that in certain other countries. We have inflation over here, so you're probably worth about 15 cents, you and I. All right? But God, he can give you life, and then you have the pearl of great price to the Lord. So without the Lord, you're, you know, really worthless. After all, what can you buy today for 15 cents? Amen?
Amen.
You can't even get a shoe shine anymore for that, or a cup of coffee. Everywhere you go, it's about $1 to $5 for a cup of coffee. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. All right. So we have some testimonials today. Let's hear what you have. Where's the first one from?
From Southern California.
Okay. Let's hear it.
Hi, it's me again. I received Pastor Lamo's tapes yesterday, and I played them for 5 hours straight last night. Another 3 hours straight this morning, and only three more to go tonight before I go to sleep. I couldn't stop listening to them. I love them and will make copies for my friends. Thank you very much. Pastor Lamo's expose on the Vatican and Roman canon law on his tapes left me dumbfounded that he is still alive, exposing them so freely without fear. I refer to them in my script, The Synagogue of Satan and the Apocalypse. I already sent to you, but was afraid to put my name on it in the past. I would appreciate it if that beloved man doesn't mention my name.
Don't be fearful and unbelieving. The Bible says he won't be able to make it into the kingdom of heaven. The Spirit of God is very bold, and if you're keeping the commandments of the Lord, there's no need to fear, but because he guards you and he protects you. So people, you won't have any peace at all until you get to the level of faith to where you can believe God, that when you expose Satan, you're not afraid of Satan, because Satan is the defeated foe, that you're not afraid at all to have your name mentioned. We won't mention your last name, but we will mention your first name, because we want you to see that nothing bad will happen to you from that, if you believe God, that he is... that you have the commonwealth of the kingdom of heaven. So the commonwealth is that you have healing available for you. You have power over death, hell, and the grave. You have power over sin, Satan, and the world. You have power over hell, yeah, for sure, and the lake of fire. You won't go there. But if you're fearful and unbelieving, you will not go there. And I appreciate the kind words that you've written here. But I'm not into politics. I appreciate that, you know, that you really love these tapes, because they are definitely from the Lord. And you keep listening to them, and you'll acquire enough faith to not be afraid anymore. Because that, without any doubt, is a sin, to be afraid of Satan. The Lord says, don't fear him who can just take your life. So it's a commandment to don't fear the devil. But the Bible does say, fear God, who can take not only your life, but can send your soul to hell in the lake of fire. So start getting used to fearing the right one. and then you're going to have peace and safety. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so if you fear the devil, then that means you'll serve him. You know, people that fear Satan, if they come to put a bullet in your head, they'll say, recant, say that you don't believe in Jesus anymore. And you'll say, oh, all right, I won't believe in him any longer. You know, you'll turn, you're a Casper milquetoast. Not any to insult you or anything, but I'm just giving you some instructions for your soul that you don't wind up in hell, because it certainly does say the fearful and unbelieving in the book of Revelation. It tells you at the end of the book that the fearful and unbelieving will spend eternity in the lake of fire. With the devil, incidentally. So, you know, you people don't fear. As a matter of fact, the Bible talks about the body of Christ. In the Old Testament, the whole church stayed together. You just notice that wherever one Jew went, all the Jews went with them. Amen?
Amen.
When they were delivered from Egypt by the Lord, they all stayed together in one group. And that was this type or a symbol or a shadow of what the church, not to be mingled with religion, but this is the way that the born of the Spirit Christians should be in the last days. They had a tabernacle where God would come down, and everybody would have to be at the tabernacle to hear the things of the Lord. Otherwise, they wouldn't know what the instructions from the Lord were. And that's why in Psalm 133, it talks about how wonderful it is for the people that are born again of the Spirit, the people that are of the Lord, to be in the house of God together. It's like the oil that's poured upon the head of Aaron and goes down his beard and down to the hem of his garment. Do you remember that?
Yes.
All right, so it's a ointment. That's what it's talking about. It's the oil was symbolic of the Holy Spirit. And so when you're dwelling together as one unit, as they did in the Old Testament, then it comes forth in the New Testament, the tabernacle in the Old Testament, and then the temple in the Old Testament. These were the houses where God dwelt. That's where he came and dwelt. Now, in the New Testament, we have the body. The body was never mentioned in the Old Testament because it was always the temple or the house, or Bethel, which means the house of God. But now we in the New Testament, because that the Lord has become the life-giving Spirit, have become the house of God, the body of Christ, the New Jerusalem. And the New Jerusalem is the city that comes down from the kingdom of heaven in the last chapter where John was shown the body of Christ. He says, the bride of Christ, in other words. He said, I'll show you the bride of Christ. And it started coming down. Now, this city had three gates on each side of it, east, west, north, and south. And this is also mentioned in the book of Ezekiel. It talks about the temple having three gates on each side, the 12 gates all in one. Amen?
Amen.
And so that was, everything is like a lot of symbols and types and figures in the Old Testament that came true in the New Testament. I mean, the promised land actually is symbolic of the kingdom of heaven. The promised land in the Old Testament. And so we have to learn. The body of Christ has to learn to become one, because Christ doesn't have two bodies. He only has one. He's not a freak, you know, where he has two heads. Christ is the head of the body, and he has only one body, and you must be in that one body in order to be able to go into the kingdom of heaven. Now, there was one corporate man in the Old Testament, and that man was created in the garden of, or in he says, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. And the reason that he did that, because God wanted to have a bride. This is the conclusion of the entire Old and New Testament, is that God has a bride, which is also called the New Jerusalem. And this is the actuality of the symbolism in the book of Ezekiel, and also in the Moses' writings, where he talks about this temple. And John the Revelator saw it coming down from heaven adorned as a bride. And so the only way that there's not going to be two New Jerusalems, there's not going to be two brides, there's only one bride, and it's a corporate body. Just like the first Adam, Adam's wife sinned, and by Eve came out of his body. So the whole body, when they became one, when they became married, they fused together and became one. And she took and ate from the tree that the Lord said that she's not supposed to eat from. And then she gave it to her husband. And so the mother and father of all flesh sinned, and therefore all their offspring, which includes us, have the Adamic sin on our soul. If we never create, and the only way to get that sin off of our soul and to be united back to God, we have to become the body of Christ. In other words, we have to be the Bethel, the house of God. We have to allow God to live in us as the temple in the Old Testament, or the tabernacle. So the Lord tabernacles, we are the house of God, but there's not two houses of God, there's only one. And in other words, there's only one body of Christ, and that is his temple, the house that he lives in. We don't go to the store with our head, and Jesus doesn't go anywhere either without his body. You notice in the Old Testament, when they were in the wilderness, that the Lord was right there leading, guiding, directing them, and also putting a shade over them during the day so that the hot sun wouldn't scorch them, and led them by a pillar of fire during the nighttime. And he furnished water for them and also furnished food for them. Angel food, he calls it, which was the manna that came down from the kingdom of heaven upon the people so that they could eat. And on the Sabbath day, they weren't allowed to go out and pick it up because there wasn't anything there. But on the last day of the week, they were able to take up two portions of it so that it wouldn't, and that it would not rot. But any other day that they took more than they were supposed to, it showed that they didn't have faith in that God would pour out his bread upon the earth the next day. And so when you disbelieve, well, then you're cursed. And the bread turned, it stank. There was a stink in it so that they couldn't tolerate it inside the house anymore. And if anyone went out and picked up a stick or anything like that to start a fire, God wants people to keep the rules. Even the rules so much as just that one rule, do not eat the fruit from this tree. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but she didn't listen to that simple little rule, and therefore all of us have the Adamic sin on our soul until we repent, until the blood of Jesus has washed all of our sins away. And then we have to begin going through a process of God living in us on a continuous basis. And if we are sinning, then we cannot be the body of Christ, because the body of Christ and Christ are holy. He is the head and we are his body. And we have to learn the proper method of how to live the Christian life. There's a method to it. It's impossible to live, to have this method, if we don't have the life. Because when we have the life, we have the method as well. But in some of the few next messages, I'll teach you the method of living the Christian life, the body of Christ, the church of God, the temple of God, the tabernacle of God, how holy it is, and how that it's the central theme of the entire Bible. It starts out in the Bible where the you can easily see, just as a quick reference, give you the children of Israel were all delivered at one time. And God was not over any other nation whatsoever. He was just over Israel. He was helping them. He had slew the enemies, and he does the same thing today for those that are the Bethel, or the house of God. Now know ye not that you are the house of God, and you don't belong to yourself, and that the head of you is the holy, eternal triune God, which is Christ, and that you're not your own, and you're not supposed to do anything on your own. You're supposed to live a life that is a crucified life, bearing the cross of the Lord. And this is the way that it is. This is the method that the Lord has chosen. People that like to not keep the Lord on their mind all the time, or to remember that Christ is their head, and they are a member of the corporate body of Christ. Just like all the demon, the devil-possessed people in the world are the corporate body of Adam, which is the Antichrist. Antichrist, yes, because they didn't believe what God said. They didn't believe that they're going to die and go to hell. Now, God gave the mankind, because they're in his image and likeness, and because he wants a bride, he gave us another chance. One more chance, all right? Just one more chance to be part of God himself. Because Adam was, and Eve was part of Adam's body. And now, so the first man had a wife. It wasn't good for the man to not have a wife. God, in the second chapter of Genesis, created for him a wife out of one of the ribs in his body. As ridiculous as that may sound to you, it just happens to be the truth. Okay? And so, if you believe the word of God, like Eve didn't, then you're saved. And the Lord makes it kind of difficult for you to believe. That's why you have to hear the word, because faith keeps coming more and more as you hear the word. And doubt keeps coming more and more when you hear the media and the government and the Pope and all these other entities in this world that will cause you to doubt. And this is why the Bible says, you know, put your eyes on Jesus, you know, keep your eyes on him. If you'll have perfect peace and a sound mind when you do that. You can look at television and radio today, and you can hear radio, and you'll see that it's a very hard, you know, you can see that these people do not believe in the Lord. And it's because they're full of the world, full of Adam, full of their selves, full of just ego and nonsense. There isn't anything that they can build upon, but the Lord wanted us as a body to build his church, to build his tabernacle, to build his temple, to build the New Jerusalem, to build the body or the temple or the church that he lives in. He actually lives in his one church. Now, there's not two churches or more than two, believe me. All these different religions are nothing more than satanic entities, because salvation is of the Lord, but religion is of the devil. Religion is of the devil, but salvation is of the Lord. Okay, so we will continue. I don't know what triggered me off over here with this person's, oh yeah, because she was fearful to mention her name. Well, you know, why is it okay for me to mention my name but not you? Do you figure you're better than I am, or the Lord is? He mentioned his name. Paul mentioned his. Matthew mentioned his. And John and all the different disciples. So who are you? You know, I mean, you're not part of the body if you're fearful. You're not part of the church or the tabernacle. So, you know, you may believe the gospel, and you may have been washed in the blood, but you're not living. You're not putting the old life away of fear of Satan or fear of death. Amen. You have to put all those old things away because you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so, you know, this, something like this, you know, really takes a lot of time to, well, it takes, you know, some explanation so that people understand these things. And so I hope you understand them. I'm not saying them to embarrass you, because we're only mentioning your first name, and there's a lot of people by your name in the world. So I hope that doesn't frighten you to death that we mention your first name, just like there's a lot of Tonys in the world, right? But I want you to know who this is. This is Tony Alamo, you know, world pastor. I'm telling you what the Bible says. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And breaking it down so that you can understand it, I pray. Amen. Okay, so go ahead with the rest of this little scaredy cat's message here.
I still can't get Pastor Alamo on any of my three radios, and I would appreciate you sending me his daily and or previous cassettes as is convenient for you, or any other you might have extras on. I need his previous sermon programs, numbers 276 through 285. Also, I need programs 292 up to present.
Well, give them to her, because maybe her faith will be increased. I'm sure her faith will be increased the more she reads, and she'll step out of the closet. Amen?
Amen.
You got to get out of Adam completely. You've got to put away your old sins, the old life, and then you got to put away your old life. You have to get all your old sins washed away in the blood of Jesus. That's step number one, but that doesn't mean that you're saved. There's a process that you have to go through. Then the next step is to put your old life away, and that's what baptism is all about. When you you become morto, dead, when you are crucified with Christ. So to show the world that you're dead to the world now, you go before the general public or whoever, and then you are baptized in water, fully submerged, which is a symbol, a type, or a figure of Christ's death. You are buried with him in death. And then the Holy Spirit comes into you, and you're resurrected unto this new life by the life-giving Spirit, which is Christ, and you become the temple, the house, the Bethel, the house of God then, where God lives, part of the corporate body of Christ, the church. And the church must stick together. Amen?
Amen.
You can't have any betrayals, just like a man and wife have to stick together. She can't betray you and be in the body of Christ, can she?
No.
Because that's breaking one of the major commandments of the Lord.
Amen.
Is where she is an adulteress. And she may think she's fine because she sees all these others supposed to be Christians that are really the great falling away from the Lord. They see them doing these things, and so they're no testimony of the Lord living in them. They're no testimony of being the house of God. They're no testimony of them being Bethel, the house of God. They're no testimony of being the tabernacle where God lives. There's no testimony of God emanating from their life because their eyes are full of adultery and fornication and the world. And there is none of the world in the Lord. There's no darkness in him, no shadow of turning, no matter which way he turns and no matter which way you turn. If you're his body, he's moving your body the way that the head wants the body to go, okay? If I want to, in my mind, go down to a Jewish delicatessen, or I want to go on a ride down to the beach, or if I want to go out when I'm in the central part of the United States, I go to see the cows, or I'm in New York and I want to see the Statue of Liberty. I want to go out there, which I've already done, but I don't leave my body at home. The body has to go with where my mind is going. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so if you're of the Lord, then you have the mind of the Lord. You have to go. You're the body. You're the temple. You're the Bethel. You're the house of God. You have to go where the head goes. Amen?
Amen.
You know, so to speak, you know, actually the head cannot do anything without the body. If there's just the head laying on the bed, where is it going to go? The head can't walk. Amen?
Amen.
It can talk, but it can't go, and it can't even talk if it isn't attached to a body. So if you're attached to the body of Christ, you're not sinning anymore, because his mind is not that way. He won't let you sin. Okay, so there's a method, and the method has to be the life. Because then God's life must live in you for you to be able to operate under the method of God. My method is that, you know, I stay at home. It's a beautiful sunny day out here in Southern California. And I would love to have gone to the beach with my little baby girl and my wife and some of the people from the body of Christ. But I'm here bringing a message to you because the Lord believes that it's more important for you to receive this message than it is for me to go down to the beach and get me a corn dog or something. What would you rather have me do today? Go get a corn dog at the beach or preach this message to you, which has to do with your eternal life?
Amen.
Isn't it more important that you get this message?
Amen.
Amen. Because I know that you don't know these things. Because if you did we'd have a huge church. We'd have the body of Christ just like they were out on the wilderness with the Lord leading, guiding, and directing us all. And the Lord does have a leader. And I believe that I'm the one that the Lord has called to lead. If you don't believe that, well, that's fine. But then why are you listening to me? If you're not getting something from me, and then why are you listening to me and not paying your tithes to me so we can get this message out all over the world? If you're the body of Christ, well then come on, kick in. All right, like the Bible says, or you're robbing God. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, let's finish off with her, this scaredy cat's message here.
If I am requesting too many of them...
No, you can have as many as you like. I want you to pull out of the closet. I want to pull you out of the closet. All right, then what? Lord wants you out of the closet. He wants to live in you. And he wants to be your guide. And you can't be really a Christian unless you are porky. You gotta, you know, let the Lord talk out of you. Amen?
Amen.
What are you but a hunk of dirt? And if the spirit in you is a temporal spirit, but if it's not mixed or mingled with the Spirit of God, then you're really an empty thing. Without the body of Christ, the New Testament is empty. It's hollow. Without the tabernacle, it's empty. Without the church, it's empty. Without the New Jerusalem, it's empty. These are the things of the Lord. The Old Testament is absolutely empty without the man, the corporate man, and then his bride in the second chapter. And then the Lord being his the tabernacle of God. And without the Lord leading, guiding, directing him, without all the different things that are there. Well, what is there in the Bible then? This is the main thing. The final, the conclusion of the entire Bible is the New Jerusalem. Amen?
Amen.
That's the church. So the church is it's the most important thing in the Bible. Christ the head and his body, the church, are the most important two items in the entire Old and New Testament, because God is not going to be able to have a corporate body to be his temple or his house where he lives unless he has a body, a church, a temple, a tabernacle, the church, the New Jerusalem. That's what it's all about. It's just that. And so you have to learn all the different things, the technique of how to live the Christian life. How to live the life with Christ. Because he sows the seed that came from him, and then if you rise up in resurrection from him, and are saved from him, then you must grow up together with him in order to be him. Amen?
Amen.
How can my head be different than my body? How can Christ be different than his body? How can his body be different than Christ? They're one and the same, so don't sin, all right? Because you sin against your own soul, because he rejects you out of his body if you sin. He says he'll spit you out of your his mouth, even if you're not zealous to preach his word, to not be afraid. Amen?
Amen.
He says, therefore, we have the Spirit of God in us, and we are able to approach the throne boldly. Amen?
Amen.
Are you a coward to approach the throne? Are you a coward to approach sinners? Some of the meanest people in the world I've won to the Lord. They're the ones that need it the most. Some people absolutely reject speaking to sinners. They like to go to church and be around what they call nice people. What an upset heaven is going to be, because those nice people are really the evil ones, because they just entertain each other and they don't go out to win sinners. Oh, that person out there, he's a sinner. He's doing all these evil things. Well, if they are, then go out and witness to them, so that they become born again in the Spirit. Do you think that you were a sweetheart before you were saved? You're worse now by covering it up. We have scriptures today where a man doesn't take a candle and then put a bushel over the top of it, right?
Amen.
Or hide it in the closet. You're supposed to be a light unto the world, amen?
Amen.
The Lord, we are the lampstand in the book of Revelation. We bear the light. In other words, in the light, we carry Christ. We carry the cross. We carry the Spirit. Let that sink into you, amen?
Amen.
Because I didn't go to the beach and get a corn dog today. I'm here telling you how it really is. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, let's hear some more of this scaredy cat.
I will continue to make copies for my friends. Incidentally...
Oh, your friends only? What about your enemies? Give it to them and they won't be your enemies anymore. Come on, see? Your speech betrays you. Okay, then what?
Incidentally, I love Sharon's voice. It's so pleasing to my ears.
Oh, let's just please your ears, right? Okay, Sharon, we'll have to have you bring the messages then. Okay, then what? Well, Sharon, we will let her speak more then. Then what else?
Yours in Christ, Nan.
Man? Okay.
Nan.
Nan. Nanny. Okay, and then the next testimonial.
It's from Uxbridge, London, England. I have listened to Tony Lamo's interviews with Greg on Greg Zemanski's investigative journal, Republic Broadcasting Network. These interviews are fantastic, and I'd like to listen to them over and over again. So if they are available on CD, please send them to me. Praise the Lord, Brother Lacombo from Uxbridge, London, England.
All right, praise the Lord. All right, now, let's get back into some Bible reading here. And let Sharon read it, because we want this scaredy cat to be pleased with Sharon's voice. And Sharon does have a very nice voice, so I agree with you on that point. Okay, go ahead.
Chapter 4, verse 20 of Mark.
And yes, we're continuing the that chapter. Chapter 4, verse 20.
Yes.
Okay, speak right up.
And these are they which are sown on good ground.
Those that receive the fact that they're the body of Christ and that they can't sin anymore. And they shouldn't be afraid because of temptations. They should just stay in the Spirit so that temptation doesn't bother them anymore. And they should also, I'll tell you, the devil really, I can hear airplanes going over us. And somebody's vacuuming in the next room, and or out in the hallway, the devil doesn't want you to hear these messages, that's for sure. But at any rate, so this is a good ground. Some of them are sown on stony ground, like they'll go for a while, but then when temptation comes, it's like the house that was built on a solid rock. When the temptation, when everything comes at it, there's nothing that can uproot it. But if you built your house on anything other than the Word of God, like these heretics today do, well, then when the storms come, you won't have any power. There'll be no... you have to know the way, and the way is the method, which the method is actually the life. When you have the life of God, you have the method of how what the reality of God, the head, or Christ, the head of the body, the church, the temple. We are the temple. We are His body, and we have His life. Because His life is, we wouldn't be able to have any method if we didn't have Him. The way, the truth, and life in Christ is the Word of God. That's why the Bible says, believe on the Word, or the way, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the Word of God, and thou shalt be saved. Now, the Word of God always talks in the New Testament of the body, or the temple, the tabernacle, and it talks about the lampstands. And it talks about the shew bread, which is the bread for the priests. We're to eat the bread of life. It's only for the priests, because the priests are the ones that are in communication with the Lord. And we become priests and kings when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we eat the bread of life, which is the Word of God, and which is His body. Because we become His body by eating the bread of life. Amen?
Amen.
But we have to eat of Him, because when our mouth eats, it's also eating not just for the head, but it also nourishes our body, right?
Amen.
So when we eat the food from the head, the body are nourished. Okay, then what?
And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it.
Yeah, so... we hear the word, the bread of life, and we receive it into us, the Spirit of God and the blood of Christ, the Spirit of Christ and the blood of Christ, which strengthens us to be able to do the method. The method is how to live a godly life as the body of Christ. In other words, the body has to be united together as one. Not sexually, because, you know, this always the devil comes in and says, oh, for one body, then it's all right to have... I know of a church that does that. They believe that they could just have sex with each other. But that is the exact opposite of the meaning of the body of Christ. The body of Christ keeps the commandments of the Lord, and they do not, they don't get into the... old life again, where you say, oh, this is a free-for-all, we can just have sex with anybody in the body of Christ. Don't receive that doctrine. One church I know fell away, the pastor fell away, he fell dead right in the pulpit. Okay, then what?
These are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit.
And bring forth human souls. In other words, they began appropriating the body of Christ for Christ to live in. Okay, then what?
Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100.
Now, in other words, they began going through the method or the life. They start living the godly life, which eliminates adultery, fornication, and all these things. You can have fornication, or it's not called fornication. You can have relationships with your wife, and that's it. Right, and so then what?
And he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel?
No, now that you know the truth, what you've done is you've had all your former sins washed away in my blood. I'm going to shed my blood for you, and then you're going to put you're going to be crucified with me, because when I'm crucified, that means that the entire church is crucified with me. Even if you get saved in these last days today, you still were crucified with Christ on the cross, and now you have to bear the cross. In other words, you have to put your old life away. So you're washing the blood, and you put your old life away, and you start following the method. And you say, well, you can't put a bunch of rules and regulations in front of people without them having the life in them. So when the Lord sends his life into you, then you have the method. Every life has a method to it. I mean, if you're a guitar player or something, you have to live that life. You have to carry that guitar with you and play it and practice on it. And if you are a machinist, you have to do the same thing. You've got to work on machines, and the more you work on them and study, you have it. But when you are in the Lord, you have that kind of life. You have all these other kind of lives. They don't have the life of God in them, unless they're saved and they play guitar for the Lord or something, or they make fix machines for the Lord. But at any rate, you have the life, and that way you have the method. You have the power, in other words. The life is, and the method is, the power to be able to do the things that the Lord is leading you to do. You have the not only the power, but the intestinal fortitude, the righteousness of the Lord to be able to do what he says, because you know he's God, and you know he wouldn't tell you to do anything that is wrong. Okay, and then what else?
Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed?
Now that you know these things, I mean, what good would it be for me to be a Christian if I didn't tell you the method, the way, the truth, and the life? Now, the way, I'm going to bring a message on the way and the method and everything. I just did one on tape today. Okay, and so we'll probably be bringing it to you maybe mañana, tomorrow or so. Okay, then what?
And not to be set on a candlestick?
No, you have to. We have the lights or the lampstands of the world. The Bible talks about these lampstands in the book of Revelation. It talks about them in the book of Deuteronomy. It talks about them in the Bible. That we have these lampstands, and they are symbolic of the church. The ones that Jesus is the light of the world, and he said that we are the lights of the world. We're like part of the rock, the solid rock. We're part of God. The Bible says that we're the fullness of God. We must be filled with God. We're the content. God is our content, and we are the containers. He pours himself into us as a container in his likeness and image, and we, because we contain him, are not involved with sin anymore. He made us like him so we could contain him. He fits into us just like a glove if we yield it our entire life over to him. So this is a great mystery. The Bible talks about this mystery, the relationship. And this mystery is the church and the head. The head and the church, the body. The head and the body. That's a mystery. And you're learning that mystery today. Amen? Just part of it. Okay, then what?
For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad.
But there isn't anything that we have, the secret or the mystery, and we give it to you. We're giving it to you. This is like the most precious ointment that runs down the top of your head and onto your beard and onto the hem of your garment. Amen?
Amen.
This is like a beautiful anointing that we have. I see my time is up. And we'll continue on with this. Remember what scripture we're on, okay? What verse we're on and all that. And tomorrow, make sure you tune in for another powerful message that will give you the power or the method, the life, which is the power. Christ, all power in heaven and on earth belongs to Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus said that all power in heaven and on earth belongs to me, saith the Lord. And if you have his power, then you and he, all things are possible. Only believe. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so those of you that would like that power living in you, all you need to do is say this prayer to him to begin. So say it now to the Lord. My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all of my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me and the rest of the world. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so, and you are the word, Jesus, and you are the power, the life. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now, just raise your hands up and praise and thank the Lord, and keep doing it, keep reading the Word of God, because then the Spirit of God will fuse into you, and you'll really know for sure that you are power. You are the temple, the tabernacle, the Bethel, the living place of God, where Christ, who is the fullness of God. So, just keep praising the Lord and get baptized, fully submerged in water, and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And, keep listening, And here's Sharon to tell you four different ways to receive a copy of program number 344. Please mention CD or audio tape. It's free, including the postage and handling.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
All right, praise the Lord. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for the continuation of this powerful message. In the meantime, here's H.B. Barnum's fantastic choir, life choir singing, life prayer song.